Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
And I'm delighted now to be joined by the acclaimed poet, playwright and spoken word performer Felly Speaks. Hi, Felly.
Hi, Brendan.
And you're very welcome. And you've picked some music for us that's been important in your life. Before we get to that, you're involved in a project right now called Ireland Is.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Ireland is a poetry roadshow that's accompanied by live music. It's going to be kicking off next week, Wednesday. And we're going to different cities. We'll be in Dublin, Galway, Cork, Limerick, and ending in Longford, where I'm from. So I'm really excited.
Okay. So are you nervous about the home crowd finishing up?
Do you know what? Not too nervous. I just feel like my mom and all my aunties are going to show up with cameras in my face. So it's more exciting than anything else. But the whole show in general is really exciting. Going by the title, Ireland Is, it's basically deconstructing and exploring the multifaceted side of what Ireland is becoming.
Okay. So you grew up in Longford. How was it growing up a Colchie in Longford?
Oh my God. Being a Colchie is an interesting experience when you leave.
Yeah.
You realise
how... Did you only realise afterwards you were a Colchie?
Yeah. Coming into Dublin, I was like, oh God, everything else is so much bigger.
Yeah. But sure, look, I thought I was the man down in Cork, and then you come up here and you realise you're just a Colchie.
Yeah, exactly. You're just a Colchie. But Longford was great. I enjoyed the grass. The cows are great. We have that one Sentra and a really nice Tesco.
Was the Tesco always there, or did that come recently?
The Tesco was kind of always there, but okay. It was constantly being revamped.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
you know,
yeah.
Like, they're
so
like
state of the art.
Yeah.
So your first music choice then, I'm seeing, you know, in Longford.
Yeah.
And then you see Cleopatra. You must have been only, I remember Cleopatra, yeah. Like, but you must have been only a really small kid.
Yeah, I was a baba when Cleopatra came out. Probably like early teen years, maybe like 11, 12. But when Cleopatra came out, I was like, first of all, they're black girls. They're jumping on the bed and they're famous.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You don't actually have to do much to be famous. But I just was so inspired. I'd never seen, like, it was so close to home because they're black British girls. And I just found it so fascinating. But their music was amazing and so simple. So yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Okay, let's have a listen. This is Cleopatra and Cleopatra's theme. You'll know this when you hear it.
We all want the same success, so we're wishing for the best.
Hey, we're here, oh. Fashion talent's here, and we know. We're never gonna go, Cleopatra.
Hey,
we know the way to move, so we're gonna.
Gonna.
We're gonna blow the roof on the love
back. Hey, oh, 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 oh. Let me hear you say it.
Cleopatra.
Okay, that's Cleopatra. Cleopatra's theme coming at you there, and that is Felly Speaks' first musical choice today. And you were kind of voguing. It brought you right back, obviously.
Yeah, shoulder bops.
When did you start realizing then that you might be creative?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it had always come naturally to me, and I did a lot of things growing up that I didn't realize was lending itself to creativity. I think one of the first modes of creativity for me was experiencing the world of books. I lived in County Longford's library. I was always there right after school. And I think I really enjoyed books and stories and knowledge so much that I had to have a way of giving it an outlet. And so I started writing as a result. But yeah, books were the first thing.
So words.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the performance side of things, I'm right in thinking that kind of came through church then, did it?
Yes, I had the opportunity to be dragged into the choir. I think I started in the choir when I was about 9 years old. And I stopped being in the official choir in the Longford church that I grew up in, maybe when I was about 17, when I headed off to college. So I just was really used to performance. Sometimes you get like a message on Thursday evening, and before you come to choir rehearsal on Saturday, they're like, you're leading the choir on Sunday. So you better prep and get ready to be on stage and leading a group like 200 people.
Okay, yeah. And like people expected top quality, did they?
Oh yeah, pretty top quality. They're not going easy on you because you're 12.
And so come here, were you a good girl? So like, I'm thinking most people probably, did they leave the choir around 13, 14 when other things started coming into life? You stayed?
I stayed till I was about 17. I really enjoyed the challenge of choir. I think learning different songs with a couple of days to go, being able to lead people in like praise or worship, and being able to just like command a stage was a really interesting experience for me. And also I had all these little side jobs within the church where I was like, I was the assistant youth choir director or assistant youth, you know, leader. So I had all these responsibilities that like, when you're young, you don't really get to experience. Yeah. And so my social skills, my people skills, my artistic skills had a place to really thrive.
Were you religious?
Yeah, I was raised quite religious. I was Pentecostal. I'm no longer as religious. I think I identify more as spiritual, but that's another story for another day. But generally, I grew up Pentecostal in church, and then I had this double religious life where I went to Catholic schools as well. So interesting experience growing up.
The Pentecostal was a bit more fun and energized, I'd say, than the
We had drums.
Yeah. So your next choice, this is kind of church music, is it? Kirk
Franklin.
Some. Just explain who he is and what it is.
So Kirk Franklin, growing up, was and probably still is a leading gospel musician, director. And he basically, when this song first came out, Stomp, it was really exciting because he made the art of going to church or the art of experiencing music in church a fun experience. It wasn't very stuffy. It wasn't very like, you know, lift your hands in worship. It wasn't too much pressure on a young teenager. And I think when you heard this song, it was like, yeah, I can love God and have so much fun. Like, and yeah, that was what this song was for me. Yeah.
Okay. So here's Kirk Franklin and Stomp. People could see you because you can still praise with the best of them. So when I was a kid, there was a thing called the folk mass was the way to try and make religion fun, you know, but it was much less, I would say less New Jack Swing than not the same groove to it at all. So then how did you start crystallizing in your head that you might become a poet?
I did never think I actually would be a poet. I think poetry was always something that I thought would be a creative outlet, a hobby, despite like having to, you know, organize myself as a proper adult, in quotes. When I went into college, I just started experimenting with slams and open mics. And I remember my first proper open mic or slam competition. I studied English and sociology in Maynooth University, and one of my English lecturers was actually a judge, and he kind of looked at me like, oh, you poor thing, like you're shaking up there. But like, he was like, you have something, so just keep going. And the following year, I did the slam competition again, and I got to win and represent Maynooth University at an intervarsity slam competition in Dublin City.
Is there a big slam poetry scene?
I think
no, because I mean, it was around a while back, kind of, but it seemed to recede a bit then. So it's a thing again, yeah.
I think it's brewing up again in terms of competitive nature. But like when I was in college, it was a huge thing. You could go to a slam anywhere. You could just get on a mic and just perform. But I think now there's a lot more places that have been closed. For instance, Filmbase was where like I did a number of slam competitions, but it's been closed now. And I think the more we have artistic spaces being closed or restricted from the public, the less we're going to have that creative type of outlet or spontaneous creativity.
People who mightn't otherwise go a creative route, like
exactly.
So then Now, I don't know Nigerian mothers. I know if I turned around to my Irish mother and said to her, I'm going to be a poet.
Oh, yeah.
That would not have gone down well.
No, not really.
Was it considered a viable career in your family?
Oh, absolutely not. I think even still now that, like, I'm able to live off it, it's still not a viable career. That no. Any, like, anybody I tell that, oh, hi, I'm a poet, they're like, oh, you're living on crumbs, aren't you? And that's none of your business. I'm doing my best. But, like, in general, I think when I told my mom I was going to go into poetry, I think she was confident in my abilities because thus far I'd been able to, like, survive on my own. I'd been doing good, like, getting, like, a proper adult job. You know, I'd proven to her that I was a responsible person. And so going down this route meant that while I was exploring, I wouldn't go hungry, if that makes sense.
Okay, so you had the fallback, which all yeah. mothers wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the degree and all that kind of thing. Did she feel relieved when your poems, you've two poems now on the Leaving Cert?
Yes, I do.
Was that kind of a mark of respectability then? Did she think, oh, you've arrived?
Oh, God, yeah. Like, my mom, like, amongst her friends in Longford Town, they call her the mother of the star. You know, this very serious stuff that she's living up to right now. She's really enjoying this, her semi-stardom. But I think after I got into the Leaving Cert, and the second thing would have been, like, the Leaving Cert is more abstract, you know, like, she's not sitting her Leaving Cert, so it's not something that she can hang on to that much. But what she could show off to everybody was when I got into the, I was in the Leia Healthcare ad, and whenever that ad comes up, I think when it first rolled out, there was billboards. It was this, that, and the other. Yeah. And did my mom not show everybody the billboards?
Yeah, the thing, the Leaving Cert thing is impressive because, like, you used to have to be pretty much dead to get on the Leaving Cert.
Yeah.
I was looking at you doing For Our Mothers, which is one of the poems that was on, it was on the Leaving Cert this year, wasn't it? So, but the thing is, you wrote that when?
Ooh, I think I wrote that when I was about 21.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's so, 6 years ago now.
Yeah, I mean, if I was confronted with anything I did when I was 21, I'd be a bit like, oh, God. Like, presumably you're a different person. Is it weird having that
100%.
Testament there? Yeah, when you're 21, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very interesting one. Like, out of all the poems they could have picked, they picked probably the most sensitive one to me and also probably one that I didn't think I was using all my poetic techniques on. Do you mean? It wasn't a piece that I was showing off on in terms of my writing.
Okay, if you didn't know when it was going to be on the Leaving Cert, you would have thrown in a few more frills.
Yes, a bit more frills, a bit more jazz hands. But I think I was really grateful for that piece being picked because it accurately represented multiple layers of identity. It was able to touch on the Nigerian mother's plight, but also the Irish mother's plight, and then their relationship to religion and their relationship to their safety and how they are allowed to be. And I think it's doing wonders in terms of, like, having its own multiple generations that get to study it. Mm. So it's a really interesting thing for me. I'm not even dead yet, and I'm not even 30, and I have two poems on the Leaving Cert. It's still a really strange experience.
Were you working in the bank when you wrote For Our
Mothers? Yes, I was working in the bank. Yeah, it was my first, like, proper job, and I really didn't think it was going to go off like this. Yeah.
Yeah. I never think when I go into the bank, I never suspect that the people working in there might be poets. Like,
yeah.
Maybe a bit more sensitive to them in future. Yeah.
They might write about you.
What poets did you like growing up?
Ooh, one of my favorite ones is actually so typical. William Butler Yeats is a favorite of mine. I think the older I've gotten, the more I've learned to appreciate his writing.
Yeah.
I think I used to really enjoy, and I still do, like, the slam poetry, the looking up on, like, YouTube. What I grew up on in terms of performance and poetry styles was slam, and which is competitive battle style poetry. And I think being able to, in my older years, appreciate written text and be able to see the layers in written text is a different experience for me.
Okay, so I've seen you refer to page poets.
Yes.
Yeah. So is it a different thing to what you do?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think page poetry and spoken word poetry have different ways of taking on life. I think when I write spoken word poetry, I'm writing with the intention of sound. I'm writing with the intention of double entendres and you being able to pick up a line based on how the other line was said. And so all those things are important. And even how you enunciate, your volume, how you want to make people feel in the moment is all really intentional and how you use your voice. But with page poetry, it's just leaving you to your mind. And I think that's a fascinating experience because it's less control from the poet.
Yeah, because, so yeah, somebody can watch, I can watch you doing a poem and I need to get it in the there and now. Whereas like a page poet, like even in school, we used to have to, they'd have to explain to you what the poetry meant, which is, I think, why a lot of people are a bit nervous about poetry? Because going through a school system where they say, okay, there's the poem, you haven't a clue what that means, now we're going to tell you what it means, and that's a thing you have to study.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing about enjoying the poems maybe sometimes.
Yeah, I think with page poetry, how we've been taught to observe it is that you actually don't know what's happening. And I think that's an unfair point of view because whatever you feel in the moment is what's happening. And then you get to go over it again and again and it can keep revealing itself to you or not. But I think whatever way you experience a piece of text is how you're supposed to experience the piece of text. I think the point of it being page poetry is that the poet no longer has control over how you view the text. So there might be layers in that text that the poet intends, but you never catch. And there might be layers in it that they didn't intend at all, and then you do catch. And I think that's the beauty of page poetry. It's the leaving it up to interpretation.
Yeah. On that thing of people being nervous about poetry, I do think one of the ways we all ingest poetry without thinking about it is music. So I was watching you doing poems in the Museum of Literature with musicians. You did this one tough meet and these musicians were hardcore.
Like,
it was amazing. It's like other thing, isn't it? Is that something you're doing more of now as a musical thing?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things to do as an artist is to keep pushing my own boundaries. I think I've gotten used to and enjoyed the art of spoken word poetry and being able to get on stage and use my voice in different ways. But now I'm adding layers with musicians and trying to see what else I can bring out of myself with other people's influences. So growing up, again, it's the influence of being around music as a child, growing up in choirs, knowing how to sing, understanding sound to some extent. So being able to bring that into spoken word text is a really enjoyable experience for me.
And having to collaborate with people as well, which is, I suppose, challenging but good. Okay, your next choice. This is kind of a poet with music, Usher. And which people will know this when they hear it, was a massive song back when. Yeah. Why Usher?
Usher, first of all, is every culty black girl's crush. Usher, like when Usher, first of all, is the most gorgeous man going. But I think when I was younger, I wanted to be Usher's girlfriend and be Usher at the same time. And there's something fascinating about the way he performs, how he gets into a music video, or if you've ever seen him do a live performance and you're like, wow. And even now as an adult, like, he's still making waves. He's doing a Vegas tour at the moment. He's getting into the news for all sorts, taking people's girlfriends by accident, you know? Like, Usher is, I think, in his 50s and he's still an incredible performer. And I think being able to see that last and span over years and improve has been amazing. But this was the first song I saw of Usher's that I was like, yep, I want to be like that.
Okay, Usher, yeah.
Get a little VI, keep it down on the low key. She know how I feel. I said, shorty, she was checking up for me. From the game, she was singing in my ear. You would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat. Conversation got heavy. She had me feeling like she's ready to blow. Yeah!
I can imagine you're going off at the disco down in Longford when this came on. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you're going to be part of something else called An Old Song Resung. This is in October. I think it's marking 100 years of the state in a cultural kind of way, is it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a huge production. Also, it's just, I think, South Wind Blows production company.
Okay, so Philip King.
Yeah.
Who does other voices and that.
Yes, yeah, other voices, yeah. Yes. So it's going to be incredible. I'm really excited. I'm also going to fangirl some of the performers. I'm like, oh my God, is that Damien? But yeah, I'm really excited about that. And I'm also doing a Yeats poem. So tune in and you can definitely...
What poem are you going
to
do?
Oh no, you're going to have to see. I'm not going to tell you. That's a secret. But there's tickets available. It's free, but it's limited tickets on the 7th of October.
Okay. Your next choice. I'm kind of surprised at this. Adele, someone like you.
Yeah. I'm multi-layered. Brendan. Someone like you. Do you remember? Different generation. Sorry.
Whoa. Rubbing it. Listen, like Usher, I'm still performing well into my 50s.
When I was about 16, someone like you, I think I did it because I studied music in secondary school and I did it for like my end of the year music exam. And I feel like I got extra points because it just came out. But Someone Like You was very much my, my crush doesn't like me back kind of sentimental music. Yeah. You know, when you're younger and you start imagining great romance and you break your own heart in the same daydream.
I don't remember.
That was what Adele was for me anyway. And I think one of my favorite things about Adele as an artist and as a performer is that Adele releases a project. She works for about 3-4 months, does a tour, and then just disappears for 3 years. And I think that is incredible because everybody knows who Adele is, but nobody knows where Adele is, you know?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So it's a way to manage a career as a creative, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Do good stuff and then go away and get the time to go back to the well and stuff and everything.
And replenish.
Do you have a career plan? I sound like your mother now, but as a poet, is there a career plan?
I think I'm quite creative and emotional, but I'm very logical. And again, being raised by an immigrant, you tend to understand how delicate your existence is in some senses. Like you have to have something that would give you longevity, right?
Okay.
So at some point, while I was working in said bank, I did my postgraduate diploma in communication studies and public relations. And I did my thesis on myself as a brand. Because as Feli Speaks, I did a thesis on that because I needed some sort of a map in order to pursue this with some sort of confidence. Because I was like, this is a really precarious kind of job or way of living. And I needed to map it out in some way. And thankfully, it's kind of worked. I had a 5-year plan. And I'm due to actually make another one because it's been 5 years.
Okay. And is Feli Speaks a brand then? Is Feli Speaks the fierce person that gets up and slams out the poetry? Is Felicia a different kind of person?
Slightly. Felicia's probably much shyer than than Feli Speaks makes her seem. I'm pretty reserved. My circle is small. I like to disappear. I only use social media mainly for work. So I think Felicia is very private, and Feli Speaks gets up there and says what needs to be said.
So who have I here now?
Feli Speaks is in the building.
Really? Am I not getting the real deal? Felicia.
Okay. Well, the stories are Felicia's, so.
Okay. Adele, Someone Like You. I nearly forgot to play it.
Never mind.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough for Dan. I believe you're planning a TV project.
Oh, the secret is out. Yeah, I'm expanding my writing opportunities. I think I'm the type of person that, like, I don't necessarily wait for gigs. I just keep creating until something happens. And currently,
you have to do that. Yeah, can't sit around.
Yeah, you can't sit around. I don't think any real artist is actually just sitting on their thumbs. I think I constantly have an idea and I constantly have a need to create. So the poet, the performer, and the playwright is expanding into screenwriter of some sort. So I'm quietly working on that project, and I'm hoping in a few years it'll be out. And I think one of the things I'm learning, because I'm trained as a writer in poetry, and poetry, snappy, you do it and it's out, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think I'm learning the patience of long form writing. Playwright and plays take a while to develop. Good plays take a while to develop, and they also need a lot of money for it to be exactly as you want it to be on stage. And I've also discovered recently that screenwriting takes a while as well. And I'm inspired by the idea that I get to grow along with a new piece of writing.
Okay, but it's much more quiet time on your own,
yeah.
Not getting that feedback and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have to go out every now and again and get in front of an audience just to
get the high? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Is it a good high? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, getting on stage. Like, as soon as I get off stage, I'm buzzing for 30 minutes. The adrenaline is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your final choice is Ashaki.
Ashake.
Lonely at the Top. Tell me about this.
Okay, this is like the song of the year for me, because first of all, like, Afrobeats, he's an Afrobeats artist from Nigeria. Afrobeats is doing a lot in like the Western side of the world at the moment. It's been like infiltrating the system, if that makes sense. Recently, an Afrobeat artist, Rema, as well as Selena Gomez, got their first Afrobeat award in the VMAs. That's how much it's like moving the scene.
So just for reference, people will remember, was it Fela Kuti or Femi Kuti?
Yes, Fela Kuti. Yeah. He's the first Afrobeat artist that like went mainstream and went into the West. And since then, there's been like so many artists that are growing and expanding. Burna Boy, Wizkid, Davido, and even Tames. Tames brought Rihanna out of retirement recently for the Black Panther 2 movie.
Okay.
So she wrote the song that Rihanna sang, and just it's so exciting. So
it's infiltrated worldwide pop.
Yes,
now, this phase of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible, and it's just exciting when you go into like Zara and you're hearing an Afrobeat song, and you're like, oh my God, guys, I know. That song.
Okay, so Ashake, this was a big, I missed it. This
yes.
is a big song
yeah.
this year, was it?
Yeah, it's a big song this year.
Okay, listen, Feli Speaks, thank you so much. Ireland Is tours around the country from next Wednesday, September 27th. People can get more information on poetryireland.ie. And so we leave it with your final choice, Ashake, Lonely at the Top. Thanks, Feli.
Thank you, Brendan.